Welcome to Getting Work to Work, a weekly podcast that explores the creative and curious world of work through monologues and conversations with artists, creative entrepreneurs, storytellers, and changemakers. Have you ever thought about what your core values sound like and how they fit into the sound universe? Today's guests on Getting Work to Work have, by taking their drive, passion, and hunger for music and sound and translating it into audio branding. Gabo Aguero, Dalmiro Lacaze, and Mauro Gonzalez are the creative forces behind Drop Music Branding out of Argentina. In this conversation, they share their entrepreneurial journey to make a living through music and sonic branding. They touch on topics that impact us all, including the importance of partnerships, how there are no excuses to create, ways to keep the game fresh, and a new way to look at staying in your lane. Show notes and links to all the good stuff mentioned in this episode can be found at gwtw.co/549.
I am Dalmiro Lacaze, and my main instrument is guitar, but I play also a little bit of keys and a little bit of bass.
Nice. And I got to ask, who was your guitar hero?
When I was growing up, Jimi Hendrix, Steve Ray Vaughan, Brian May, a bunch of them, David Gilmour, Frank Zappa.
I have a feeling that we're going to get along just fine.
Nice.
All right, Mauro, how about you?
I actually met Dalmiro at the university. We were studying guitar. So my main instrument could be guitar, but I enjoy maybe any instrument or anything that makes sound. I enjoy playing with it, but maybe drums, some keys, bass, and guitar.
Nice. Gabo, how about you?
Okay. Hey, Chris. So my name is Gabo Aguero, and I used to be a drummer, but things happen, man. So
they do.
Life, right?
Right.
So I kind of fell in love with synth, and I'm crazy about it. So I would definitely say that today I love to play more synths, but never could shake off the drummer. So I play synths like a drummer.
Nice. So do you have like a touchpad where you can like just pound in the rhythms?
Yeah, synth is everything. So you can create drums from synthesized sounds or play pads and melodies. So nice. We have, among the three of us, we started buying stuff together. So we have drums, electric drums, guitars, basses, arpeggiators, synthesizers, we work together in this studio and we play everything. And the guys are too humble to say that they are great musicians and they can play every instrument there is. I do what I can.
It's awesome. You're all way too humble. I'm sure you're brilliant at what you do.
Thanks.
Yeah. So one of the questions that I ask everyone that I talk to, and since I've got three people on the line, I get three answers to this, but what are you each endlessly curious about? And Gabo, you mentioned synth, but is your answer different for this question?
I'm endlessly curious about music. It's like, it's something that has been on the center of my life for more than I can remember. Having said that, it has a lot of different paths, music. So I've been constantly fighting for making a living out of it. Yeah. Because it's a centerpiece of my life. Yes. So that took me to different paths. One that includes synths, other that includes how to entrepreneurship, So sales, how to work, make a job out of music, So that's what I'm endlessly curious about, how to live as a musician.
I love that. That's great.
I would say like sound and the technology applied behind that, and new ways to convey or transform sound, or even make up sounds, and also match with in hand with the, all the technology, like how you can route it, how you can use a piece of probably like a pad to control a synthesizer that it's on the other side of the room, so you don't have to move. And kind of, yeah, kind of like make everything integrated with each other. So the workflow, it's also like, it's more, what do you call it, efficient.
Yeah, that's cool. There's so much that you can do with modern technology that just blows my mind.
I was also going to say sound in general, but I would focus in the communication quality it has and how you can use that in your favor to enhance a message or maybe make your point in a, you know, provide information to the consumer. And that process to, you know, get to, you know, your
message understood.
Yeah. That process is the, every day I think, how can I, you know, improve that sense.
That's amazing, man. It's even more primitive in our brain that, you know, it's so crazy. You know?
Yeah.
That's awesome. And what I love about all three of your answers is like, it's the business version of a band. Like, you've got the lead singer, you've got the drummer, you got the bass player, like all of the pieces are there for your business. It's so fascinating.
Well, we used to be a band, you know?
Oh, yeah. Really? What was the band called?
Viejo Smoking.
I'm sorry, say that again?
Our band was Viejo Smoking.
And what does that mean?
Like old smoking, you know, the suit?
The suit.
Okay.
Like a weared out suit.
Like a worn out, yeah. It has like a lot of anti-hero tanguero stuff on it.
Yeah.
Okay.
But grow up, you know. That's what happened. We grew. We were endlessly curious about how to make this work. Music and life. So we leveled up, basically.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool. So how did the three of you meet?
I know Gabo since we were 6 years old. We met in elementary school.
Oh, wow.
We did all elementary and high school together, and we started playing music when in high school. Gabriel was already playing drums, and I wanted to start an instrument. He told me, like, start guitar so we can play together. And that's how I got into guitar in the first place.
I was bossy, man.
And we decided we want to do music for the rest of our lives. So the next step was to study and do it, like, in a serious way. So we came to Buenos Aires. And
college.
Rolled up into college, and that's where we met Mauro.
Yeah, that was... maybe 2004.
Yeah.
Wow. 2004.
Then we were bandmates because we were college mates, classmates. So we started a band of a rock band, and nice. We did it for a long time.
Yeah, 8 years.
Years.
Yeah. Wow.
Yes.
That is a long time.
That's a long time, but we were always on our mind as professional musicians, you know, but it's hard being a band. It's like you kind of have a fantasy of what being a musician should be that's never accomplished. So the feeling of being a failure is constant. So until we stumbled upon some opportunities on the professional side and started really working on with music, our music started working, you know, in other aspects of our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And then we kind of grew the band and started working.
And doing this, 24/7.
We kind of, I started, let me tell you, a little bit, Chris, because if not, you don't understand what I'm trying to say. When I was 25, I came with the opportunity to work on the main TV station, TV network from Argentina. So I started working there, and like a month ago, like I started, right?
And a month after that.
Yeah, after that, my boss on that moment said, we should do the music of our branding department. And I say, I can do that.
Yeah.
So we started doing it with Mauro on 2011, and we are still the composers of every brand piece of that TV network.
Wow.
From 10 years ago. And it's the main TV station from Argentina. Wow. So we kind of stumbled that opportunity and said, yeah, this is the one.
Let me say that when you see that your music is reaching a lot of people, and your bank account is growing.
Yeah.
Then you put in the, how do you say, balanza?
In the balance.
It's a balance.
Yeah. You say, well, the band is great. The guys are funny. I like to spend time with them, but in the long run, you need to work. Yeah. You start taking that path.
Yeah.
Which is great. And it's greater if you share it with friends, of course.
There's this that I was trying to say also about the fantasy that one has when you're a teenager studying music and then real life, you know, work, and being able to keep a lot of that fantasy on your day job, because for us is coming to the studio, being with the guys and creating music. So what really changed? Nothing. You know, it's like we saw that this path would lead to where we are now, and that's great, man.
Yeah, that's amazing. And what I appreciate about that too is like you were a band for 8 years before you started business, right?
Right.
Yeah, it was kind of overlapped, but yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Normally, like I'm fascinated with bands, and like, there's a lot of bands that just don't like each other and don't make it over, you know, after an album or two.
Yeah.
So what keeps you together?
Wow. What keeps us together?
I think we got our personalities kind of fit together like a puzzle.
Nice.
Yeah. And also there was like two or three guys, a part of us in the band, and we three always share this drive, this passion, nothing matters but music, and this is our life. And maybe you start to see in your bandmates who takes it seriously and not so seriously. So that's something we shared, and we knew that we're going the same way, no?
Yeah. Besides, I gotta say, if I have to say something about choose somebody that is going to be an entrepreneur on their lives, I would say have partners, because doing this alone, it's too much work. There are too much stuff that you need to attend, and having more than one brain, it really helps. But I understand that it's really hard to find partners. And I couldn't imagine myself doing this with other people than these two guys, because I really love them. You know, they're like my family. So it's that what kept us together all this time, because we really love each other.
That's awesome. That feels really good. You know, thank you for that, because you don't hear that a whole lot.
Wow. Yeah. It's. I know. I'm really lucky.
Sorry, I'm just taking that in, because I don't hear that all the time.
Well, I say that to them all the time, so they're kind of sick of it.
Exactly. They're probably in the back blushing or something. I don't know. So, Gabo, when you hear this opportunity, you know, showing up at this job for the biggest TV station, you know, in Argentina.
Yeah.
At what point do you believe in yourself so much, and you believe in Damiro and Mauro, to say, we've got this, we can do this?
When the boss said it's okay and approved. At the very last part of it. Yeah. I had no idea that we could do it. In fact,
We actually couldn't. Well, we hadn't any like any plugin. We have the stock plugins coming from Cubase, and we have like two sounds of drums and you know, kind of very little resources. So,
but there was not a moment where I doubted that I should
try.
Do it.
Yeah, try.
There was no doubt about it. It's like whatever we need to do, we are going to do it. So yeah, we solved it ourselves, and it was amazing, but it was like unreal, you know, because after that it was like Mauro said, you were at home and you know, turn on the TV and it was your music. It was really weird because at the time TV was really big.
Still a thing.
I love that you all said that, you know, it's not only about being musicians but making a living being musicians
and don't die in the process, you know.
But it's like, what's been the training like for becoming entrepreneurs, let alone musicians?
Having a crappy band. no, I'm just joking. It's that we have advantages on other, you know, professions, like, you know, designers expect their lives to be with a steady job, you know. Musicians, from the first moment, we are against the world, alone, you know. So the first time you play, your mom goes to see you, and then not anymore, you know. You gotta find your own mom, another one. So it's like everything is entrepreneurial about it, you know. I think I was 11 when I started saying I need to print
a flyer.
I need to go to that corner and tell everybody to go see me play because I have a band.
Yeah,
which is really weird to do.
Yeah, and also the musicians, we have this issue that we feel that people owe us attention, or maybe they need to like our thing because we are great, and we tend to not be very autocritical. No, I'm talking about your, of course, your first years, and with all the youth, and the, you need, you think you can go and play in the
in arena.
Stadium. Yeah. But it's true, you know. I know a lot of musicians, and
but you're,
I know how they or we are.
You're also really exposed, so you need to be in love with yourself a little bit, because if not, you know, nobody would be a musician.
But if you don't think about the person is listening or your product,
you suck.
Yeah. You suck, and then you never get heard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Teenage bands.
Yeah. Well, there's good so luck. Much wisdom in that.
Yeah.
Well, we have our gray hair.
Yeah. The gray hair and the calluses all over the fingers.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't relate to dreaming that I was going to play in an arena one day. I think any musician has had those delusions of grandeur. And so I appreciate that your arena shifted from, you know, a literal arena to, you know, every form of digital media possible.
That's what being making sounds for brands, it's so a little bit abstract, but the arena, it's so much bigger, you know. Audio branding's around us at every moment of our lives. We've been listening to audio cues from brands since the moment we were born. So that's really crazy that there's still things to learn and not as much people dedicating themselves to it. We see a lot of work to be done, you know. It's like everywhere we go, there are shitty cues that hurt your ears. You say, why? Why would you do that to the people?
Right. Well, and one of the things that completely fascinates me about your work, not just that you create amazing music, but it's this whole notion of audio branding or sonic branding. So like, can you let me know like what that is for people who might not be familiar with that, or might not know that that's what it's called?
Okay, okay. So audio branding is the design of brand communications through sound. Every brand expression that is going to be expressed through sound, you need to have like a overview of that, you know, as the whole. So everything would sound and have certain consistency and strengthen the brand's identity, you know. It's like we tend to talk about it very similar to visual branding.
Okay.
Because the only difference is the medium.
Right.
You wouldn't go and change your logo every different communication you do, or changing the colors of your brand.
Yeah. Fonts are the color, yeah.
Right. So
it's the other side of the same thing, right? The other side of the coin, the other 50%.
Absolutely, and which is crazy because everybody communicates through sound and video, and nowadays it's all over the place. So if you don't have like a vision on who you are, how would you express yourself? It's weird.
Yeah, you leave it to chance because it's not, if you are putting yourself out there on Instagram or YouTube, you are definitely doing audio branding. It's a question of, is it behind the strategy of the brand or you are just leaving it to chance?
Mm, I love that. The first thing that comes to mind is things like the sound at the beginning of Netflix.
Or absolutely, yeah.
Like the static and then the swelling HBO. Crescendo of HBO. See, all I said was static and you immediately said HBO. But then there's the like, we want the electric guitar solo behind this part of the video. And it's just like, even that's a form of bad branding most times.
Oh, yeah.
I've never heard an electric guitar solo from stock music that actually works in a movie. But yeah, it's all of those things from sound effects to music, correct?
Correct. Yes. Yeah, you can brand any part of the sound. You can make it be in brand. Is it a guitar or anything, any sound effect, even the voiceover you're going to have behind, it needs to be a brand voice so you know who's talking to you.
Is that why brands really like celebrities for their voiceover a lot of times?
Well, I think that what also they're trying to do, first is a voice that everybody heard, and it's a little bit of jumping on their train a little bit. So it's like you get a recommendation. For example, Tom Hanks is trying to sell you an insurance, and people might think, well, if Tom Hanks is choosing this insurance, little did they know.
But Forrest Gump, man, he's a good person.
he survived a plane crash.
Yeah. That's right. I would buy it.
They do it also with a music artist also sometimes where they would do, well, for example, Michael Jackson and Pepsi back in the 80s.
Yeah.
They are jumping on their audiences.
Yep.
You know, it's a target thing, a way to segment people.
As a team, we take care of everything that sounds, that any communication that sounds that come from a brand to the customer. And that's it. We have we deliver these assets that are files, audio files. And then we also explain the client how to use them, how to apply them. But the main thing is we make every sound to be to make sense in a world, in a sound universe, we call it.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so you can fail, you know, you can choose in between things that are thought and on brand all the time.
Sound universe, sign me up. Yes. So if the process of branding is like you've got a design brief, you've got sketches, you've got, like mock-ups and roughs to the finished product, what does the process of producing sonic brands look and sound like?
Well, that's a good question. I think it depends on the kind of brand we are working for. It's very different to create a personal brand that creating a supermarket brand or,
right.
you know, we are actually right now working, I can't say the name, but we are working like on a development, financial development organization that it's huge, you know, it's like for a region of a continent. Yeah. So it's the briefing process is really different and the way we work, because we've done also personal brands, you know. The thing is that in personal brands, you need to get to the person you are going to represent with your music. And in big organizations, the process is really different because you need to support their message and understand how they want to be perceived. But you are not representing a single person. It's like an entity, right?
Yeah.
So those things are equal as challenging. I don't know, the process is different because when it's a person, you need to get the person, right?
Right.
It's more subjective when it's a personal brand.
Yeah, so the questions are different. We kind of need to work on a workshop to get to understand the real decision makers.
Yeah.
It's a kind of a mix between gut feeling and interpretation because, you know, everybody that works on branding, they are going to try to, you know, protect their gut feeling with a lot of statistics and data and hard info.
Right.
But in the end of the day, the artist, because you designers are artists and we musicians kind of do an interpretation of all the research you've done and express yourself through your medium, right?
Right.
So I think that that's kind of the process.
Yeah.
In understanding where the brand is now and where do they want to go.
Right.
And understanding who are they talking to, you know, age and gender and what kind of core values they have. So you can reflect them on the, of course, for example, if it's a bank, you need to reflect reliability, for example.
Right.
So the thing for us is this ability we have to think, well, okay, how does responsibility sound? So with...
How does it sound?
If I had a keyboard, I would show you. Now, it comes to a very... It's very abstract and very hard to explain, but it's that the translating is our main... thing, I think. From visuals to music or from core values or some kind of communication to music or sound. Sound design is also a part of it.
Wow. Well, and what I'm wrapping my mind around, you guys, is that, you know, as a band, you become known for one style or one sound. And in many ways, you get locked into that. So like, thinking of like Metallica, for example, where, you know, they tried to change in the, you know, and load and reload era, and they got huge backlash from the fans, and eventually they came back around to what they were known for. But I think you've found the secret sauce of being able to like change your sound based upon who you're branding and what you're doing. That's got to be totally freeing.
Yes.
That's something that we really like to do. It's like each day or each week might be a different genre, a different instrumentation.
Yeah.
We might do something that sounds really ethnic, something that sounds like really artificial. And that's one of the things that we really like, because as musicians, we know, and as bandmates, we really know how boring it is to play every day the same stuff.
Yes. The same instrument.
And the same instrument with the same things. And we used to play in a rock band where the singer would say like, hey, listen, that's not what you recorded on the album. Who cares what I recorded in the album?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's something we don't miss. About, you know, the musician, when we started, we kind of wanted to be instrumentists.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's right. Yeah. We realized it's boring. You don't have any control about anything. You have to repeat like a robot and read a score. And also every time the same instrument, I don't know. It's very you know,
limiting.
Yeah, and it's fun, and it cultivates your creativity every day, coming up with something outside the box.
It keeps the game fresh.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, of course.
Sure. So every day is different. Every day is crazier than the last one. And that's amazing, man. Yeah, that's definitely. And we tend to do projects that are relatively short, because as we built all the company around us three, we are who, you know, do everything. That makes processes faster, you know. It's like you are talking to the guy that is going to compose it and mix it and master it and everything.
Yeah.
And that's amazing. We tend to do 1 month one thing, 1 month another, which keeps very fresh the coming to work.
Yeah. That's awesome. I love that so much. And I'm curious what's been the either most challenging or the most weird project that you've worked on that really pushed you as musicians?
Okay. I've been a little kid, for example. I needed to record a little kid's voice once.
Yeah.
Or gender change. I've done that.
What?
Yeah, yeah.
Gender change?
Yeah, my voice.
Okay. explains, please, I don't know what you're talking about.
Once I had to record an audio logo,
yes.
But we needed to have the voice of a woman.
Yes.
So I sing it, and then we processed it, and that's definitely challenging.
Okay, I didn't remember that.
Other one, I don't know, Stomp.
Yes,
yeah, recently done Stomp, yeah. Which is great because you get to hit stuff.
Yes. we gather every piece of glass or metal or, you know, junk, and started making noise and yes. Recording it.
One time we need to do a Father's Day short, and here in Argentina, father is papa. So we kind of make like a song. It was pa 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 pa. That was another one. Crazy.
Yes. We've spent entire afternoons recording, you know, like food objects, for example. We like to make our sound galleries custom made by ourselves.
Cool.
And maybe we have like random objects, you know, lettuce and a tomato and a squish, and I don't know. And we transform all that sounds into other things. But we like to provide ourselves the materia prima.
The sound.
Yeah, the tools to work from there and make sounds.
We like to think when we get the chance, we like to think the audio branding as a fractal part of the brand, if the product may allow it. For example, if the product sounds a different, a particular way, we tend to record that and try to build some parts of the audio branding based on the sound of the actual product.
Wow. That's so cool, you guys. That's just, it's because it's beyond just music. I mean, you're focusing on just like a designer would focus on, like you said, the colors and the typography. I mean, it's not just the composition, but the notes and the way you make the notes.
Yeah.
Wow. So if you were to encourage someone who this is their first time really starting to think about music and sound in new ways, where should they start? And please don't say a bland stock music library.
Oh, you brought the stock thing up. Yeah.
I was going to say that. Yeah, stock is like, I think it's like buying clothes without knowing the size of it.
It's like, yeah.
You know, it's a t-shirt, but you don't know what you're getting.
Right.
I think that today we are living in an era where the sound is going to be really upfront in a short period of time. It's already is, you know, Clubhouse and other social networks that are really paying attention to sound. I think that if everybody is doing this kind of communications, having a really good mic, understanding a little bit of software, of audio, would be a great start. You know, I definitely would say Ableton has been a tool for us to really work around creating new sounds.
Nice.
And you know, it's amazing.
I think if you are starting now, it's a really golden era to start in this field, because you know, with a computer and a headphone set, I think that you can make anything. You can there's like free software. There's no excuses, actually. So the thing is, if you're curious and you
curiosity.
Have
curiosity,
that's the main thing. Because if you have that, you're going to search the web and see tons of videos and YouTube. I would recommend that, you know, with little, make the most of it and grow from there. But there's no excuses nowadays. You know, 2021, it's everything out there. It's everything free. It's, you know, sit down and make the effort. I don't know.
See, Ableton has a really nice 90 or 99 days trial.
Oh,
and
wow.
After that, you can have a full feature program, but you cannot support or you cannot save it. But you can use it to play live or even tinker it or investigate. The program is still going to open. And like Mauro said, curiosity and hunger, I would call it also, that hunger of learning. It's one of the most important nowadays, that basically like the information is there laying around. You might need maybe a little bit of filtering out. And that's why probably things like YouTube and that kind of tutorials could come in handy. So you get the information like being fed to you at a slower rate, so you don't become too anxious with it or overwhelmed. But yeah.
I love the word hunger, because it speaks to this idea of growth and doing your best, not necessarily being the best.
Oh, no, I was a terrible student. Definitely.
One of the interesting things is that you're located in Argentina, and yet you work with a global audience.
Hunger.
How do you bring that local influence into the global setting?
Well, how do you shake it off? It's impossible. Yeah. I think that we all have a backstory and act accordingly, you know? We were talking about hunger, and I think it's a great word in the sense of always, well, we started with this also in this interview, always trying to look how to improve and make out a living out of music, making work to work, right?
Yeah, for sure.
So
you just shouted out to the crowd and said the town name right there, and everyone shouted and cheered. So
I know, baby. So that's how we take our local, making it work, you know, being musicians and being curious and making it about the people who is going to listen to our music. You know, whatever sound we are expressing from Drop Music Branding, we are thinking of the people that is going to be targeted, you know, the user. As Mauro said, when we were younger, you know, a musician is a little bit in love with itself and plays the music that he likes. Now it's the opposite. So whenever we need to do a project that is from far away, we've done, you know, from Hawaii to Australia, all over the world, Russia, Africa, Nigeria, a lot of people in Canada, in the US, in Europe. So it's weird. We are very happy about it, but it's a big door that music opens there, because there's no language. So, for example, we had a project where a guy from Nigeria called us to make music on the local style of Nigeria. And we're here from Argentina. Okay, how do we do that?
Yeah. again, 2021, we have any information we need.
Any information.
At the tip of your fingers.
We did some research, but we still made an interpretation of being Argentinian musicians about the music style, you know, folk Nigerian. So I think the local thing, we take it everywhere. We can't shake it off. Yeah. But it's a good thing.
We change skin every project. You know, we had this Sirab was like a film...
a film studio from India.
a film studio from India.
Wow.
And we had to use this Indian instrument, very classic instrument, that which we didn't know anything about. And it was research and sampling and getting to know the history behind their culture. And so it's also fun and you know, it makes you grow from other sides, you know, a cultural side, and you connect with people around the world and you speak with them, with you make friends. It's very, you know, actually the pandemic pushed us to be more out there in the world.
Out of hunger.
Yeah,
it was a necessity because here in Argentina, nobody was asking us for anything.
Everything
was getting very hard. And
we needed to pivot, you know, we needed to pivot and started looking for things elsewhere. And luckily, we found this amazing community of designers, entrepreneurs on Instagram and social media. And that's why actually, Chris, we end up connecting, you know, one thing to lead to another, to another, to another. And we end up talking to you, which is amazing, man.
Yeah.
New world.
Total new world. What's so great is when I hear that story of hunger, of putting yourself out there, of connecting with people, of being able to put on a new skin when you're creating new work, like, it reframes the phrase stay in your lane for me, because stay in your lane has always been like this negative connotation. But like, for me, when I hear your story, it's like your lane is music, but the lane is the size of the world. So,
wow.
That's nice way to put it.
What a nice lane.
Yeah, like
totally.
Yeah. The thing is that staying on your lane, if you are enjoying the lane, you know, it's like, that's life.
Yeah, but I think the negative side of it, if you can see it, like if your lane is very short and very narrow, maybe it's boring for you, or you feel like pressure, like you need to do this and obligated. So I think if you put it the right way, it's the music lane. So the music lane could be teaching, could be making music, could be listening to music, could be a lot of things. So
absolutely,
when your lane is big, you have to stay in the lane. That's very important.
But the thing is having the courage to choose your lane, what you do in life.
Yeah.
You know? Once you find that, it's positive to stay on your lane because it's your lane.
And if you go to another lane, you have to start from the beginning. So that's,
you wouldn't do that because it's not your lane.
No, but so many people go lane through lane and building
until they found it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, but the more time you spend on your lane, the
better.
Further you're going to. Yeah.
Yeah.
The last question that I have for you three is this. What sonic experience is currently blowing your mind right now?
For me, it's like all the thing that video game music and soundscapes and even like VR implementations, that sort of spatial sound, like you're kind of there and you're hearing like in a 3D environment. Digging a lot of that.
Yeah, I think that we are going to have a little bit similar responses because, you know, we spend a lot of time together in the studio, so we're blowing our minds every time each one discovers something.
That's cool.
But I think we've been trying to compose music on a 360 environment, you know, and that kind of changes.
Are you talking about surround system?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that composing for surround systems and creating that immersive experience. I think immersive experience is the
yeah. It has word. To do with the answer that Miguel yeah. gave.
Yeah, that's why I'm saying that.
For me, the thing that is blowing my mind every time constantly is technology. Mm. Applied to the tools. The thing is, nowadays you have tools to build your own tools, and you can, I don't know, you can do so much with it. So it's kind of programming your own plugins in a way. So I think that that experience of infinite, I don't know.
Infinite possibilities.
Yeah, infinite possibilities and tools that will make your life easier. And that kind of, you know, technology applied to sound, that's the experience I'm most excited about right now.
You're getting into the matrix.
Yeah.
We're going to lose you.
Yeah, you already lost me. Yeah.
Mauro, you inspired me to ask this question. What is the sound of infinity?
Ooh.
I would say silence.
As we wrap up today's episode of Getting Work to Work, there are two things that I want to share with you. The first thing is this. There are over 500 episodes of Getting Work to Work available to you at gettingworktowork.com. Whether you're looking for a topic that affects your entrepreneurial journey, or you want a conversation with some really interesting people, you can search and find what you're looking for there. Did you know I also started a new online community for creators, dreamers, storytellers, and do-gooders? It's called Curiosity Builders, and it's a safe place to connect, learn, grow, and share. You can sign up free today at curiosity.builders or find the link in this episode's show notes at gwtw.co/549. Until next time, may creativity and curiosity fuel your life.